Hey there, my name is Allie Robinson. I am a certified personal trainer and running coach, and I am here to love, support, and guide you through this amazing journey to crushing your goals. We will talk about all things running, racing, strength training, nutrition, and weight loss without forgetting the real talk like mental health and motherhood. It's like a coffee date with your bestie, except I have the credentials, personal experience, and client testimonials to back it all up. So grab your favorite water bottle, put on your headphones, start your workout, and join me for something wonderful.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Something Wonderful podcast. Today, I have an Ask Me Anything episode. We are talking about some of the most common questions that I get from new runners or beginner runners. So whether you are a seasoned runner or you're just starting out, I'm going to be answering questions that you may want to get the answers to. Before we get started, I do have Miss Angela here. And I got a little, a special announcement because this episode is going to be released on April 19th. So tomorrow is Angela and I's 4-year anniversary. Like, I think this is outlasting some people's like relationships. So Angela and I have been together for a really, really long time. And something special about Angela is she was my very first online client. So when the world shut down March 2020, I started my Facebook group and she was one of the very first people to join my Facebook group. And I remember her clearly because everybody else I sent emails to like let them into my Facebook group. And Angela, for some reason, couldn't find the email. She kept messaging me back and forth, couldn't get into the Facebook group. And I was like, already I knew it. Like, Angela's gonna be special. And a month later, she reached out to me, set up a call, and she became my very first online client when I was terrified. I had no idea. I had trained people in person and I had worked in a gym, but I had no idea how to coach someone online. And so Angela got to be that guinea pig. And I'll let her tell the story from here. But Angela, kind of talk to us about what's it been like dealing with me for the last 4 years? Tell everybody about how we met and all the things.
So I remember beginning of March, just before you and I met, I had went to on a trip, a work trip to DC, and my friend at the time came up with this wonderful idea that we should run a 5K in our respective home and our respective towns on the same weekend. And I was a firm believer that the only way I would ever run is if something or someone was chasing me. And so, but I hesitantly agreed and started the Couch to 5K program. And as my personality, as you've gotten to know, it was one of those things that I started going, okay, well, if I'm doing this, we're going to dig into it. So I started joining any beginner running Facebook group that I could find. And I, if I remember correctly, you had posted like, hey, if you want a free coaching call, here's a link and I'll give you a 30-minute free coaching call. And I was like, well, my favorite price is $3.99. So there we go. I remember filling out the form and you and I talking and you were like, you're like, okay, my goals are realistic. Kind of gave me some coaching as to, you know, doing the strength training, things like that. I wasn't really sure how long I would keep this up or doing much past a 5K. And you started to help me design a, actual workout plan to include my running, right? We use the Couch to 5K as my running days. And then you started teaching me how to do the strength training, what to focus on, and slowly working on my nutrition. And then again, like you said, I was having technical issues for whatever reason. Your Facebook link did not like me. Once we finally got that part done, we started setting more realistic goals for me, because, I have to have something to work towards. I have to have shiny blingy to stay motivated. Otherwise, yeah, I fall off the wagon. And so we set the goal for a 10K before my 40th birthday.
Yes.
And then I remember you telling me that when I called to say it was done, you said, "So when are you running a marathon?" And I looked at you and I was like, "Ha ha 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 ha. You're funny. Never happening. Nice try." I was like, "Best you're going to get is a half." And you're like, "Yeah, we can do that too." And so from September of 2020 to January of 21, we trained for my half marathon, which I completed one in January, another one in February. And then looking at races, since at that point I was in Georgia, I found one in Orlando. And I wanted you to, I was like, you know what? Let's meet and run in Orlando halfway for us. And at this point, after numerous phone calls, because apparently neither of us were very good at setting boundaries in the beginning of our relationship,
No.
many phone calls, text messages, Facebook messages later, I remember your wonderful husband, Donnie, calling me back, telling me that if I wanted to run with you, that I would have to come to Miami and run the Miami Marathon. And I told him again, he had lost his mind. And so, but yet I think it was maybe 2 hours later, I called back and said, "Fine, I'll do
Yeah.
it."
I knew you would. I knew you would.
And so within what, two years of us starting to work together, we met in Miami to run the Miami Marathon. Something I absolutely never thought I would do when I agreed to do a 5K.
You're also the one that said, like, my coaching should come with a warning that says, warning, Allie will make you do things that you said you would never do.
Firmly still stand by that. I have
Don't tell Coach Allie never.
No, I have learned never to say never to you. I will give you, that doesn't seem to fit into my guideline, my thought process right now. We will find time.
We'll touch back on that at a later date.
Because every time I've told you no, yeah, well, that didn't work out so well for me. So
Yep. And then like Angela, I can't get rid of her, right? I literally cannot get rid of her. Most of my clients, they work with me, we reach their goals, and then I teach them everything I can, and then they go off and continue their training and going and doing bigger and better things. And you know what? That's just the life of like a coach and an athlete. But I can't get rid of Angela. She won't leave. I have been so mean to her. I have given her so many burpees for her workouts, and she won't go away. So I thought the only logical thing was the fact that this woman, she knows every in and out of my business. So what better to do than bring her on and help me run everything? So we were just talking about before we started recording of like, what do we call her? Because like my assistant doesn't feel right. Like we couldn't like think of a name. So she's my life coordinator. Okay. She's my life coordinator. Half the time I'm like, Angela, where did my plane tickets go? Or like, where's my flight information? And she's like, it's in this folder. So she is absolutely amazing. I literally could not function without her anymore. She's such a vital part of my business and has been literally since the beginning. There's something very special about the people that believe in you before you believe in yourself. And she was that for me. I didn't know how to be an online coach. I didn't know what I was doing. And I made a hell of a lot of mistakes along the way. And Angela was there for all of it. And she believed in what I was trying to do and what I wanted to do with the business and where I wanted to grow. And it's just special to have those people. And I think, as much belief I had in her with her being able to run a marathon and do all of this running, we've just had a really great relationship. So we will get into the actual episode, but since it is so close to our anniversary, I wanted to share that and let you guys know, a little bit more about the person that asks me these awesome questions for the Ask Me Anything episode. So, Angela, can you kick us off with the first question?
Absolutely. And I know this is one of the questions that I asked you when we first started working together. How fast and how much do I need to run to be considered a runner?
Oh, okay. So I okay. So a part of me, like my heart breaks when I hear this question, right? Because I'm like, what do you mean? If you like went out and you did a run this morning, like you're a runner. Like, why are you even asking this question, right? So a part of my heart breaks because I'm like, why don't you feel like a runner? But at the same time, I know that imposter syndrome is real. Right? Being able to definitively call yourself a runner is so scary of a title to like absorb because we might not feel like we are fit enough or active enough or skinny enough or our lifestyle doesn't look like a stereotypical runner. But here's the thing is you don't have to be an Olympian to be a runner. Right. And I know that absorbing the term runner is scary. It's the same way, like, let me think. Like when I was pregnant, right? When I was pregnant and like Mother's Day, right? When you're pregnant, you don't like celebrating Mother's Day, you're not quite a mom yet, right? You're a mom, you're growing a life inside of you, right? You absolutely should celebrate Mother's Day when you're pregnant. You're still a mom. That might not be holding a baby, right? But you're a mom, but that can be so weird to feel like that's your holiday. When you haven't accepted the term mom yet, right? Then you hold this little baby in your arms and you're like, well, nothing really changed other than, I'm holding them in my arms rather than in my belly. You don't feel like a mom yet. You're like taking care of the newborn. You're doing all the things, right? Changing diapers, feeding the baby, rocking the baby. And yet it can still be so awkward the first time the nurse is like, hey, mama, it's time to do your blood pressure, right? Like you can be like, oh, that word sounds really weird, right? But then 6 months later or a year later, when you're teaching your kid to walk, or the first time they say mama, you're like, that's me. That's my title, right? That's who I am. So I get if we're talking about something as like silly as like motherhood, right? It can be hard to accept that word. But as a runner, it's the same way. It's gonna feel awkward at first, right? The first time you tell someone, yeah, I'm a runner or I like to run, it's going to feel weird. But if you have a baby in your belly, you're a mom. If you have a baby in your arms that you gave birth to, you're a mom. If you adopted a baby and you have a document, you're a mom, right? If you are a runner, if you went on a run, you are a runner. It doesn't matter how fast you ran. It doesn't matter how far you ran. If you went out with the intention of running, you are a runner. And I know you're going to have that imposter syndrome. Okay. Like the first time I took on a client for online coaching, I had no idea what I was doing, but I had to tell Angela that I was an online coach for her to accept it, right? And so, you know what? It's going to feel weird. But you just got to take on that word, okay? Doesn't matter how fast you run, doesn't matter how far you run, it doesn't matter even how often you run. You go out with the intention of running, you are a runner. And the sooner you can accept the title of a runner, the sooner you are going to be able to train like a runner, and eat like a runner, and accept the lifestyle, because running is so much more than just like going out and like going for a run, right? It there's a lot of, there's nutrition things you can learn. You're gonna find yourself with different hobbies and the way you're spending your free time and the different clothes that you're buying and different shoes. When you go to the mall, you're gonna be going into the running store instead of, I don't know, Macy's, H&M, whatever. You're gonna be heading to that running store to try on new shoes or get a new gel. So the sooner you can accept the word, I am a runner, the sooner that you are going to unlock this whole new world that's so magical and so much fun. So yeah, that was a really long-winded answer to a very simple question.
Well, it is, and I know it, that's something I still struggle with, even, because my running hasn't been as consistent as it was when we started, right? And it's still kind of weird that I call myself a runner. So it is a harder word to
Since your son moved out of the house because he's 18 or 19 or 20, I don't even know how old he is now.
20.
20. Okay. See, when I first met him, he was like a baby, you guys. He was like a little baby, and now he's a full-grown man. Okay. But now your son, he's moved out of the house, but you're still a mom, right?
Technically.
Yeah, so exactly. So you might not be running as often as you were. You might not be training for a marathon, but you're still a runner. And
Yeah.
I'll be scheduling in your runs this week so you can get back on that. So,
Yeah. And at least the text message I got last night still said mama on it. So I'm assuming that's still my job title. So
Exactly.
how do I know exactly what speed I should run?
So this is another, especially in the beginning, right? I hear a lot of people that tell me like I suck at running, or that like literally hate running. And if someone tells me that they suck at running or they hate running, one of the first thoughts that pop into my head is they are probably running too fast. Because most of us in our brains, when we think about running all out, like as fast as we can, right? But as a runner, you realize that you just can't run as fast as you can for even a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, marathon. It doesn't matter. You cannot just like all out run all the time, right? So one of the most important lessons that any runner learns is how to gauge their pace. Okay? Because most people, when they start out running, are running too fast. Okay? So I want you to think about the fact that if you think you're running too slow, you probably could go slower. Okay? When you first start out running, you might find people or even yourself, you might find that you could walk faster than you're actually running, and that is okay. Your endurance, your strength, all of the kind of kinetic chain of how your body functions when you are running are going to improve even if you're going slow. Okay. If you are running so fast that you within 10, 15, 30 seconds, couple minutes, you are huffing and puffing, you're out of breath, you're getting side stitches, you're going too fast. Okay. So start running a little bit slower. It might feel weird and uncomfortable to run really slow. It might feel silly to run really slow, but I promise you, if you feel like you're running slow, you could go slower. And that is one of the hardest lessons to learn as a new runner. But once you can figure out how to gauge your pacing and realizing that 90% of your runs are going to be at a pace where you can hold a conversation and it's a rather kind of quote unquote easy pace, it is going to unlock, like it's going to further unlock that world of running that I talked about. Okay. It is going to just open up the possibilities of running farther and getting faster when you can gauge going slower. Okay. So there's not an exact pace that you have to go, right? Because I could take 100 different runners and their easy pace would all be different numbers. So don't worry about what your next friend, what your neighbor's doing. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Just focus on what you are doing and what feels easy for you. I'll talk about the talk test. But make sure that you could hold a conversation. That's the easy. It's called the talk test. Can you talk while you're running? If I called you and we were on the phone when you were running, if you are, hey, Allie, if you're talking to me like that, you're going too fast. I want you to be able to hold a conversation. Is it going to be fun to have a conversation while you're running? No, but could you do it? That's the aim. Okay, so hopefully that helps you out a little bit more with pacing.
I know for me, if like I've got some friends that they want to run in silence, I am not a silent runner. And Lord knows, again, we've had plenty of conversations while I am running, and you have had to be my distraction to, to not only keep my breathing under control, but my pace. So
Yeah,
that,
I'm different. Like, I mean, like, I love when I like get to talk with my clients, right? Like, I like running and coaching, right? Running with my clients, reminding them to like bring their shoulders back and head up high and breathe deep. Like, I love doing that part of coaching. But if I'm running for like me and like my colleagues are running with me, I'm like, why don't we just have a moment of silence and enjoy the sunrise while we run?
yeah, that doesn't happen when you and I are together. So,
No.
and I know this is something you and I, well, you've tried to drill into my head plenty of times over the years. Should I be stretching before or after my run?
The great answer is both. Right? Stretching is absolutely an awesome part of a warm-up. Is it in cool down, right? Is it the only thing that you should be doing to warm up and cool down? No, definitely not. But they are really great to kind of tools in the toolbox to do both. However, the way that you would stretch for the warm up and for the cool down are going to be very different. So there's two different types of stretching. There is dynamic stretching and then there is static stretching. And dynamic stretching is going to be very fluid moments. So think about movements that kind of stretch out your muscles, but like wouldn't be like a stereotypical stretch. So I think of like lunges, right? If you do a lunge and you hold your pelvis up and down and you do a lunge, you're getting a little bit of a stretch in the maybe the front of your hand or the front of your quad, maybe in your hip flexor. It's going to be elongating the glute a little bit. Even something marching, right? Just kind of marching in place or leg swings. You're getting some movement and some elongating movements in your muscle, but you're not just sitting and holding the pose. Okay, so before we run, we want to keep everything nice and dynamic. The point of a warm up is to get our blood flowing and to get our muscles loosened up. Okay, so if you are just sitting on the ground in like a middle split kind of position stretching, you are not pumping your blood or getting your body moving, right? So think about things like squats, lunges, leg swings, things that are going to be helping getting your blood flowing, your heart rate up, getting those muscles loosened up. That is dynamic stretching that you would do pre-run, okay? After your run, and even what I have done so a couple times, not a couple times, like every so often, especially if I'm really sore or feeling a little stiff, I'll run like a mile or two as my warm up. Then I will stop and like quickly stretch out my calves or my quads and then kind of continue on with my run because it actually feels better to stretch your muscles when you're warm rather than cold. So before your run, keep everything nice and dynamic. Maybe, get that heart rate up a little bit more before doing some dynamic stretches. After your run, after your cool down, we never want to go from like running all out and running to then sitting on the floor and stretching. Okay. I want you guys to do a nice cool down, even if that is 5 minutes of walking after you're done with your run. It makes a big difference. Your cool down is Like the way I think of it is that a cool down is not the end of your workout. The cool down is the beginning of your next run. Okay? Because that cool down, as we are running and working out, we are creating all of this like metabolic waste in our body, right? Our body is like pushing lactic acid and all the things, right? When we do our cool down, it's keeping our blood pumping, but allowing our body to slowly come back to a regular kind of even keel level. Okay. So if we go from like all out working out to suddenly sitting on the floor stretching, your body doesn't get that chance to kind of keep the blood going a little bit, kind of push out some of that metabolic waste. And it's not priming our body for our next run. You might find yourself a little sore longer, a little bit harder to recover. So take that 5 minutes and keep walking. Keep moving, gentle movement. I know it's only 5 more minutes, and this is a step that everybody loves to skip. Okay. Then, once you've done your cool down, absolutely taking time to stretch or roll out your muscles is a great way to continue on with your cool down. This is where you can do more of the static stretching. And that is going to be where you're actually like, I don't know, like, sitting on the floor with your legs out and then reaching to touch your toes, putting your legs in like a figure four position and stretching out the glutes. Those are the times when we can hold positions a little bit longer, 15 to 30 seconds. You can hold the position, really getting those muscles nice and elongated, kind of work out any of the soreness. It might not fully prevent any soreness, but it definitely can help alleviate it a little bit. But one thing I do want you to keep in mind is that your body is really warmed up after you do all your runs and your workouts. So you can actually overstretch if you push too far. Just because your body is so primed and warmed up, you just don't want to overdo it on your stretching afterwards. Okay, so dynamic stretching before, static stretching after, they are both great tools in the toolbox to help with your running. Just don't overdo it, really, before or after. Listen to your body on what feels good. With stretching, unless you're trying to do the splits or be super flexible, there's no reason to overdo it, right? You don't have to be able to do the splits, or to do all these crazy yoga positions in order to take care of your body as a runner. So stretching isn't necessarily to be more flexible. It's just to kind of help be an aid to your muscles.
Thank you. How often should I be running when I'm starting out? Should I be running every day, or how many days in between should I be putting?
So I actually suggest against running every single day. And I know that. I don't know. I feel like it's a very American mindset of like more is better, right? But when it comes to running, more is not better. Moderation is better. And I know that it's difficult because when you're first starting out with running, like we are all excited. We have all of this like motivation of like, I'm gonna finally run my first 5K. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna become a runner. And it we want to just run all the time. It's super exciting, but we can actually overdo it and actually hurt ourselves and put off all of those goals that we're trying to achieve. So one of the best things that we can do is give ourselves time in between our runs to recover. So I really like for my new runners, 3 days a week is perfect because it's consistent enough that you can kind of keep building upon your runs and getting faster and stronger and improving. It also allows our body to stress a little bit, right? Because when we're running, we're creating all of these micro stresses, micro tears in our muscles, micro little tiny stress fractures in our bones. Like we are creating these micro traumas in our body. And what we are doing is when we are allowing our body to recover, is our body comes back stronger, it repairs itself, and it learns to adapt to the stresses that we are putting it through, because running is hard on the body. But the wonderful thing about the human body is that it is a master of adaptation. So if we give our body the time to adapt to the stresses that we are putting it through, it will be able to handle it. Your body might not be capable of running a marathon today, but after 2 years of consistently training, three, four, say three at the beginning, right? Then going up to maybe four after a couple months, five after a year, your body learns to handle that. But in the beginning, you have to give your body time to heal. So do not run every single day. Start out with at least 3 days a week so you're consistent enough to build and stress your body, but also have plenty enough time to recover.
Thank you. And so obviously I was following, the couch to 5K plan, and then I started working with you. Is it necessary to have a training plan or any plan really, other than just going out and running?
Right. There are people that just go out and they just like they run 5 miles every day, or a couple times a week, or they run 3 miles. And then that's just what they want to do, right? Like, there, as a runner, there are no rules, right? There's strategies, right? If you want to get faster, if you want to run a marathon, there are strategies to do that. But in order to call yourself a runner, there are no rules. So if you just want to go out a couple times a week and run 1, 2, 3, 5 miles, whatever, you don't have to follow a plan. You don't have to be training for a race to be a runner. However, if you have goals that you are trying to achieve, then having the plans that bring in the strategies absolutely is a game changer. Right. It is very difficult to wing it to a PR, right? It's very difficult to just wing it to run a half marathon. There is a little bit of a formula. There is a strategy that has been used for years and years and years. Why? Because it works. So as a new runner, don't reinvent the wheel, right? Don't come up with your own way of doing things, because running has been around long enough that professionals and scientists and research has been done on ways to optimize your ability to run and train as efficiently as possible. So obviously you can take these kind of templated training plans and make them your own, but having a training plan will really help kind of expedite your goals rather than just kind of going out and winging it. So, if you just want to run for the sake of running, I'm not going to stop of you. You are more than welcome to go ahead and do that. If you are trying to reach a goal, having a training plan is going to be so helpful along the way.
Thank you. And Lord knows I would have not made it where I did without your assistance in making training plans. That is for sure. One of the things, obviously, again, when you and I started working together is what should we be doing in our days when we're not running?
So, it can be, it, as a runner, I get it. I just want to run, right? And so I almost had to learn how to enjoy other forms of movement other than running, because that's all I really wanted to do. But I really realized that the more movement that you can incorporate throughout your week, the stronger your actual running can be. So when I say, as a beginner runner, only run 3 days a week, that doesn't mean we have to sit on the couch the other, what, how many days in the week are there? Hansel is like holding up four fingers. See, life coordinator. The other 4 days a week, that doesn't mean like sitting on the couch doing nothing. We can still have movement and activities throughout the week, right? So this could be like going on a bike ride, swimming, rock climbing, Yoga, these things, it's a gentle movement. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and do a super intensive like spin class. Lord Almighty knows that. Goodness, last time I did a spin class, I couldn't walk for 3 days straight. But so I'm not telling you to go out and do like a super intensive workout, right? If your goal is running, then you should be doing movement that adds to your running, not takes away from it. Okay. So if you're doing like, I don't know, kickboxing classes and you're finding yourself really, really sore and it's affecting your ability to run the next day, then maybe that's not the best thing for what your goal currently is. There's going to be lots of seasons to be doing kickboxing classes, right? But if you are trying to train for your first 5K, 10K, you want to make sure that the activities that you are ch current you're choosing to do in this current season are adding to those goals. Okay, so gentle, easy movements, some cross training, perfectly fine. There's no rules on like these are the activities you have to do. No, enjoy things, try out different things, right? Figure out what you like to do, especially if you're just now getting into just like working out again or having this healthier, active lifestyle. This is a great time for you to try new things and figure out what you do like. And try different things. So, there's no rules. Just gentle, easy movements that you enjoy.
So, as I started on this journey, and you and I have had plenty of these discussions, right? Like, one of the things from well-meaning family members, right, is that I shouldn't run. It's bad for my knees. I'm going to have issues later in life, right? I should do the spin class or just go walk. How bad is running really for your knees?
Like I said earlier, running is hard on the body, right? If we are not training properly or thinking about our form or we're training too much, yes, running can wreak havoc on your body. But in general, running is not bad for your knees. If anything, it's been proven that running actually helps strengthen the body. It can actually help the body become stronger to aid against some of these things that can bother your joints. So, can running be hard on the body? Yes. But if we are training strategically, right? If we are listening to our body, if we are not doing too much too soon, we can really strengthen our bodies in ways that the person that doesn't run isn't going to understand, right? They say that runners are crazy, but we're only crazy to the people that don't understand what drives us or why we do the things that we do. And when people don't understand things, they use scare tactics against people, right? Of course, when people don't understand the joy of running or the goals that drive runners, of course they're gonna say things like, it's bad for your knees. They'll make up all sorts of things. Like think about, before women could run the Boston Marathon, right? They told runners like, your uterus is gonna fall out if you run 26.2 miles, okay? I mean, I've ran multiple, multiple, multiple marathons, and I can tell you that at least as of 10 months ago, my uterus worked just fine. So, we cannot submit ourselves to the fear tactics of society to keep us being just well-behaved girls. Right? We were not meant to be well-behaved women, okay? Like the saying, like well-behaved women don't make history. So we gotta pave our own way, even when people say things like running is bad for your knees. Now, are there possibilities of knee injuries? Yes, like IT band syndrome, runner's knee. Yeah, those things can bother your knee, right? You've got to listen to your body, but in general, running is not directly bad for your knee. And there are so many other benefits that, as long as we follow injury prevention and, just follow a training plan, we're going to be setting ourselves up for success. And in general, for the average person, we don't need to be worrying about needing, knee replacements at, 40 years old.
Thank you so much. That was actually our final question.
All right, you guys. Well, I love getting your guys' questions. So if you guys want to email me at allie@somethingwonderful.com, you guys can email me questions that may pop up on the podcast for our next episode of Ask Me Anything. So that is it from me and Angela, and I will talk to you guys very soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Something Wonderful podcast. To show your support for the show, please take a moment to rate and review wherever you are listening to your episodes. You can follow me on Instagram at @something_wonderful, and you can even join my free Facebook group, Weight Loss for Runners. And remember, my friends, until next time, you are something wonderful.